We're trying to go through a series with the men about what a mature church looks like. And in Romans chapter 12, we understood that God gave us this awesome position through his mercy. And the position he gave us through his mercy is to be part of his redemption plan, both personally through our salvation and also providentially through where we fit at this time in his plan. And we discussed that many weeks ago. Then we looked at what that should cause us to do, and that should cause us to present the path that our church should be on is everyone personally presenting. And what are we to present? Well, the path that's touching us personally, the path of purity, the path of pleasing. And how do we do that? Well, that we do that by committing ourselves to be a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is our reasonable service. So as we're looking at this, we understood that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. How do we do this? How do we do this? Well, we learned it's by God's mercy. And what does that mercy look like? It looks like faith. And what is that faith? Well, we've been studying with the men in 2 Peter chapter number 1, how through faith we understand the fullness of faith and we make steps in faith. And that causes us not to be blind, not to be double-minded, but to be pure and to see God work out the fullness of his salvation in us. We understand that we don't work for our salvation. We understand that he does what? Well, he works out. We are to work out what we have in salvation. And that new life that resides in us, that is given to us, we're working that out as Christians. And we come to, this is why church is so important. This is why Christians need church. You do understand Romans is written in a context. And the context that's written to is to a church. People say, I don't need church. Yes, you do. You need church. Christ died for his church. You need a local assembly of like-minded believers. And we need to encourage each other personally, so that the corporate church, the church local, can grow and that people can see an image of God through the love that we have one another as our salvation is working out in us. So we are looking and we're touching we are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to present them. The path of purity, also the path of pleasing. And we've looked at the path of purity, what that looked like for like 3 weeks. And now, Romans chapter 1, acceptable unto God. Christians, we can please God. We can do his servant and bring him pleasure as we follow his path of presentation. What is the path of presentation? The path of presentation is to offer our body a living sacrifice. How do we do that? We do that by yielding to the new life that was given to us at salvation. And through that new life and through that new faith, we add and more of the faith. So through faith, through what we've been given in our salvation, we yield, we add to what we already have. And God works his plan out and through us. This is his path of pleasure. This path touches us personally. This path is full of purity. There's a process on this powerful path of pleasing God. And as we begin to yield our bodies a living sacrifice, you know, a question was asked of me today. And whenever we as Christians see other Christians that are close to us fall in their lives and go the wrong way, we should be saying to ourselves, am I on that path? How do I keep off that path? And this is how you keep off that path. You yield your bodies a living sacrifice. You yield and you allow the new life to work in you, the Christ life to work in you. So the passage just doesn't stop at pleasing, but it identifies our priestly duty. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Which is your reasonable service? William MacDonald in his Believer's Bible commentary says this about this phrase. Reasonable service may also be translated spiritual worship. As believer priests, we do not come to God with the bodies of slain animals, but with the spiritual sacrifices of yielded lives. We also offer to him our service, Romans 15:16, our praise, Hebrews 13:15, and our possession, Hebrews 13:16. So, this is your priestly duty. When you got saved, you became a royal priesthood. But we're not in the temple anymore slaying animals, draining the blood, and offering a dead sacrifice. No, what are we offering? We're offering our bodies a living sacrifice. This is what salvation requires of us. This is what our position requires of us. We say, how do we allow God to work in our lives? We allow God by doing our priestly duty, our mediation. What is God doing with the priest? Well, that was the mediation between him and Israel. They talked to him. They offered the sacrifices. They gave the offerings that were a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. We are the mediation. And where particularly on this earth are we mediating? We're not the mediator. We're not the high priest. Christ is the high priest. But who does he use? He uses us. How does he use us? With what he possessed. What did he possess? He possessed us and our bodies with his what? Not just, no, what did, how did Christ possess us? With his what? Grace. Yeah, with his grace. But what did he give for us? His body and his body and his blood. That's what possessed this body. That was given the right to Jesus Christ. He transformed me. He gave me a new nature. And what is happening? Because of that possession, I am his. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when you want to lose your temper, when you want to act out in the flesh as a Christian, when you want to say those mean words, when you want to be lazy instead of doing what you know is right, there's something that should be in you because of your salvation that God purchased you with his blood. You're not your own. This is not your life, Christian. I just want to live my life. I just want to do what I want to do. Well, Christian, you will be miserable if that's how you think. You should be on your knees about every decision you make in life because it's your duty. You are a priest. You are a royal priesthood. And the duty of a royal priest is to present their bodies a living sacrifice so the new life that resided in you and that is eternal through your salvation can do its work in you so that Jesus can do his work through you. Amen? Now, I would like to look at what we should be patterned after as a Christian. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Spiritus Zodiatis in his Complete Word Study Bible gives this quotation about the word conformed. Stop being molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age. Again, stop being molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age. Oh, there's a war against Christendom, and that is to make ourselves our own gods. From the garden till Christ returns and makes things all things right again, the Christian is going to struggle with trying to fit in to this old world. You know, a mold, it presses you. And it wants you to conform to what it wants you to conform to, right? My girls love making soaps. So they take this pliable liquid and they pour it into these molds, these soap molds. And then they put them in the refrigerator or the whatever they put them in. And it solidifies. You can tell I spend a lot of time helping them as they do this. It solidifies. And it's beautiful. This smells good. It's nice on your skin. I'm so spoiled. I can never go back to store-bought soap anymore. That's what the world's trying to do to you. Say, Pastor, What are we going to do? You're going to stick out like a sore thumb wherever you go in life. Why? Because you're not going to allow, if you're a Christian, you can't live just conforming yourself to this world without God chastising you. Right? How many have ever tried to conform yourself to this world? And what happens at the end? Oh, are you happy? If you're happy and you know what, conform yourself to this world? No, that's not what the song says. Every Christian struggles with this. Every Christian fails in this. And this is where a loving church needs to come behind and say, here's the right path. We're going to love you. We're going to follow you. We're not going to say your sin is okay, but we're going to be there for you no matter what. Because we know that God never leaves us or forsakes us. So how can we as Christians leave and forsake others? Don't be conformed to this world. Stop fashioning your life after the things that are passing away. Don't forget what model the pattern and the fashion of this age is made after. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or lifestyle in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we must understand what this path of conformity is, by character, then we must understand the controller, and then we must understand the conclusion of this path. So first, the character of the path, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The path is provided in character by those that are spiritually dead. They are in a position of being dead to Christ and the gospel. What characteristics come through in those that find themselves in this position? They find themselves in violation of the law of God, therefore in a position of being under divine judgment, in a position of never measuring up to God's righteousness. So they are free from true godly righteousness. If you're conforming yourself to this world, Christian, you're not being transformed by God's righteousness. You're not. And the sad thing is, when we receive salvation, we received eternal life. Right? That life lives in us, we're just suppressing it. And it's sad to see Christians act like the world, isn't it? There should be some things that Christians shouldn't be named among you. Right? Isn't that, I'm forgetting what epistle says that. But the works of darkness should not be named among us. But if we're conforming ourselves to the fashion of this world, we who are alive are living according to death. That's sad, isn't it? The controller of the path. So we're seeing the character of the path. It's where dead people come. Where dead people live. All right? Who's the controller of the path? Ephesians 2:2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You patterned your life according. Ye walked according to the course of the world. So your path comes down from a source. The source is the world, meaning the present world, the present order of things, as opposed to the kingdom of Christ. And hence, always with the idea of transiency, worthlessness, and evil, both physical and moral. The seat of cares, temptation, ill, regular desires. Also, the course of this world is directed by the prince and the power of the air. Notice, it is a spirit. Satan is known as the leader of this world. So Satan has the authority and power over the earth. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. John 16:11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who does he have mastery over? that now work in the children of disobedience. Disobedience is defined by Brother Zodiades in this way. Unwillingness to be persuaded. Willful unbelief. Obstinance. It corresponds in its use with the verb, unbelief. That's the verb in the Greek. That's what it means. To be unbelieving, opposing the gracious word and the purpose of God. A strong term. It's disbelief. It's unbelief. Hence we have the sons of disobedience, unbelievers, heathen, pagans. That's the course of this world. It's trying to conform you to the disobedience of this world, to the children that live in rebellion against God. Christians, should that be what we are? Church, should we look like the world? I'm not just talking about outward. We shouldn't look like the world outwardly. We shouldn't look like the world inwardly. We shouldn't manifest the anger and the temper and the unkind words and the revelry of this world. There should be things that are red lines to you Christians, because when you start walking down the course of this world, it's going to mold you into its patterns. And you're going to be a saved person living and as an unsaved person in this world. And what God has bought with His own blood now is put on a shelf and is treated as a castaway. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the seriousness of this? Hey, we can go to places that push us in a direction, but listen to me. We are the light of the world. We are a city set on a hill. That's talking about Israel. Well, remember, according to Romans chapter 11, we're the wild olive branch that came up with the remnant of Israel that's been saved by grace. Remember? So we're part of His purpose right now. We're in His purpose. The Gentiles, and who does He work through in the Gentiles? The church. We're part of His purpose. And the devil would like nothing more than to conform us to the image of this world. Now I see some very important points in Scripture. First point, they are children. That means they will pattern a father. If you're children, some people will say, you talk. Some people say, well, when my brother came and preached, one person said, man, that sounded like Pastor James without dyslexia. The non-dyslexic Pastor James. I started laughing when I heard that. Why? Because we have the same father, right? We have the same physical parents. And we have some traits that are similar. Why? Because we come from the same source. Amen? My friends, the children of disobedience come from the source of Satan. They will pattern a father. In John 8:44, we see Christ giving us some insight into these characteristics. Now, let me be very blunt. You know who He's talking to, friend? In this passage, He's talking to the religious crowd that's saying, you were born from an illicit relationship. That's what they're saying to Him. I say that because Psalm 69 talks about that. They say, who is your father? And Christ responds to this religious crowd in this way. Ye are of your father, the devil. Well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with those who do. Remember, they had righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember that? Oh, they had self-righteousness. And where does self-righteousness come from? Satan. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ha! Powerful, right? also tie in the thought that some can also be dishonest about their motivations. How many of you have ever been dishonest about your motivations? Oh, it's so... I remember as a kid, my dad would be around. And if I didn't show a good attitude, then the Board of Education was taken out and applied to the seat of knowledge when he didn't miss the seat of knowledge. Sometimes he missed and got the thighs of agony. But when he applied that to me, so I pretended. I became a professional pretender. And by the way, do you say, Pastor, why do you allow people just this? I would rather you be real with me than pretend. If you're going to be a rebel, be real. If you're, be hot or cold, don't be lukewarm, right? Don't pretend. Now, young people, don't use that as an excuse to be ungodly, but don't pretend. Your Father knows. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also be transformed as minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Don't get caught up with the worldliness and pretenders and the children of disobedience. Don't conform yourself to the patterns of the children of disobedience. The conclusion, Ephesians 2, 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. The universal problem of the world is its pattern is set by the prince and the power of the air. He is in control of the agenda that is set in this world. We as Christians are to be living as living sacrifice, not conforming ourselves to the pattern of this world. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to have a good time of discussion as we do. Help us to apply this to our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so ladies, you have plenty of time. You have like 15 minutes to discuss this and then to pray. All right? Is that good time? Okay. We might as well cut off the... Yeah.